NFL playoffs live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe and Buck Rising here with you live from the Wholesale Income Mount Juliet Game Nashville studios. This show brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. We're on till 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then Ryan Porth will take over all day covering the Titans and the Patriots in the divisional round once again of the playoffs.
Yeah, don't say we never did nothing for you people. This is Titans coverage all day long ahead of one of the biggest games, probably the biggest game in the past decade for the Tennessee Titans. So yeah, we are here for you.
It's been a hot minute.
It has been a hot minute.
But some news and notes around the league that I want to hit before we get back into this game. The Houston Texans took a really big step towards their future today. They extended Bill O'Brien. They extended his contract, a 4-year extension, and they hire new general manager Brian Gaine to a 5-year deal. And I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. But Rick Smith, of course, takes the leave of absence to take care of his wife. He will return to the team. Excuse me. He will return to the team in an EVP role. But they're going ahead with a new general manager, bringing Brian Gaine in, who's actually worked with the Texans before. And they've locked up Bill O'Brien. So pretty good move there, showing that they have faith in Bill O'Brien. We saw what was happening with that team earlier in the season. I think that Bill O'Brien was definitely not the problem by any means. So I think that this is a smart move for them, getting him locked in.
I mean, and this is why I cannot stress the importance enough that the Tennessee Titans are in the playoffs and making a push, because this division is going to get a lot harder over the next couple of years with all the young talent that has come in, with all the talent that you've seen on the field and that's just simply not been there this season because of injury.
Well, and Deshaun Watson getting hurt. I mean, that...
No, that totally...
That changed the game.
Between he and Andrew Luck, I mean, that is totally landscape-changing injuries. And it was why again, I cannot stress the importance of the Tennessee Titans being in the position that they're in this particular season, because this chance may not come again. Even as you may be a better team next season, everybody else is going to be able to compete as well. So, Rick Smith's wife, that's a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
And there was some friction between Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien reportedly earlier in their tenure together. So I'm honestly surprised that they would – I mean, obviously you have to extend Bill O'Brien because you can't let him go into a lame duck season. But what Bill O'Brien was able to do with Deshaun Watson, the play calling got a lot more creative, and that's what got him the job in the first place. So I think that if Bill O'Brien, you know, if he has that young quarterback talent that he can mold, I mean, you're really fighting an uphill battle in this division next season.
So they have a GM and a head coach locked up for several years, and of course Deshaun Watson, the franchise quarterback, that hopes to be back by training camp. Injury news surrounding the NFL playoffs: Antonio Brown, it seems like the calf is good to go, but he left practice on Friday with an illness. A source close to the situation described Brown's illness to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero as an intestinal issue. Mike Tomlin said that Brown looked really good this week in his return from a calf injury. So I think, barring the illness, he should be good to go tomorrow for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But some injuries that affect this game tonight for the Patriots: Mike Gillisley and Rex Burkhead, two running backs, not expected to play tonight. It looks like James White, you heard from John Burton earlier in the show, looks like James White is going to be a go, but they are banged up in the backfield.
It's just funny. I called it before this season began that the New England Patriots would add Rex Burkhead, because they've already beaten you with white wide receivers for as long as I can remember. So why not add a white running back just to shove it in everybody's face? He is the ultimate Patriot. And one day, Adam Thielen of the Minnesota Vikings will become a New England Patriot. But in terms of competitive advantage, I mean, these guys have shown that they can plug and play almost any player into that system, and as long as we talked about in the last segment, as long as they stay within their role, they're going to be able to be successful. So, I mean, the injuries are obviously of import, but I don't think they're going to have quite the significance that as Tennessee Titans fans and as the Tennessee Titans you would hope that they would have.
Well, there's one person that is going to be available for the Patriots tonight, and he has been around for a long time, and I'm not talking about Tom Brady. I'm talking about their head coach, Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick has done so much in this league. You go back and look at the Cleveland Browns and what happened there, working under Bill Parcells. But then once he gets to New England, everything starts to click, and the dynasty truly was born. Yeah, there was a gap in between Super Bowl wins. It's almost like he's done this twice now. But they were always competitive. They were there every year making the playoffs, outside of that one year that Brady got hurt, in which Matt Castle had to come in and be the quarterback.
And they still won 11 games.
Yeah, they almost made it that year. So what makes Bill Belichick just so good, and is it possible to even get to him?
No. No. I mean, this is going to be the most Bill Belichick New England Patriots situation possible. Because, once again, they have some form of controversy swirling around that franchise. And I'm referring to, obviously, the Seth Wickersham piece by ESPN that was reporting that there was friction between Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Robert Kraft because of Jimmy Garoppolo eventually succeeding Tom Brady. So there was friction there, and that has obviously turned into a national story because this is the ultimate team, number one, and one of the greatest dynasties in terms of dominance. But if anybody can figure out a way to kind of lend us a little insight into the mind of Bill Belichick, it is, of course, our own Floyd Reese. And Floyd and Jared Stillman on their show, Jared and the GM, 2-6 weekdays on ESPN 102.5 The Game, did something really, really, yeah, listen, everybody's getting a plug today, did something really, really unique in terms of Floyd gave a daily scouting report, a four-part scouting report on the New England Patriots. And you can find that scouting report in full on thegamenashville.com. I told you everybody's getting a plug. But this in particular stood out to me. It was all good, but this in particular on the mind of Bill Belichick. Floyd has known Bill since 1976, since they were on the same coaching staff with the Detroit Lions in 76. And this is what Floyd had to say about Bill Belichick.
When he plays a team like us, he's playing the Titans this week. He doesn't know a lot about the Titans because he hasn't played them a lot. Every game that he's ever played the Titans, he's got on record. Every practice that they've practiced against the Titans, getting ready for the games way back when, he's got on record. Ernie Adams, who is a childhood friend of his, who also went to Wesleyan, I'm not sure what Ernie's title is, but Ernie has been with him for 40 years, 30 years. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time. Ernie is kind of the historian. And Ernie knows probably more football than anybody in the history of the league that has never really become a head coach. And so Bill relies a lot on him. But he will have history on every time that they've played the Titans. He will have history on every time he's played Mike Mularkey. He will have history on every time he's played Dick LeBeau. He will have history on every time he's played Marcus, if at all. And he uses all that information. He doesn't just keep it around to gather dust. All that stuff he has on record, and all that stuff comes out every time he plays a game. He works through it. He knows what he did that he didn't like, what he did that he really liked and was effective, and he uses things like that to make all his decisions.
So in summary, you're not getting one by Bill Belichick, is basically what Floyd was saying. Floyd said that this man gets to the facility at 4:30 every morning and is there until about 11 o'clock every night. And maybe sometimes on Thursdays he'll get home in time for dinner, but not typically. And he's, the detail with which both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the encyclopedic knowledge that both of them have, and he mentioned this Ernie Adams character. I mean, there have been many, many stories written about Ernie Adams being the power behind the throne in terms of their football historian and being the most powerful person in football to not have been considered for a head coaching position. I mean, this is knowledge is power in terms of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And it sounds like there is no stone unturned in terms of the research that they will do, even as they have not seen the Tennessee Titans very often. And he talked about, every game that he's ever played Mike Mularkey. Well, he's seen quite a bit of Mike Mularkey, because Mike Mularkey was at one time the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And Mike Mularkey's record versus Bill Belichick between the Titans' job and the Bills' job is 0-6. I mean, you know, there has been a lot of criticism about Mike Mularkey, and nobody has found a way to consistently beat Bill Belichick. But it sounds like he is going to have every advantage available to him because he has such an encyclopedic record of all of the information that they could possibly need, even as they haven't seen Marcus Mariota, even as they haven't played this iteration of the Tennessee Titans team. This is going to be a very, very difficult matchup, and I just don't see a way in which you overcome that from that aspect, because nobody's going to out-prepare these guys. There's a reason to be the man, you've got to beat the man. There's the reason they've been the man for so long.
Well, the last time that the Titans and Patriots played was December 20th, 2015. Mike Mularkey had taken over the team at that point as the interim head coach, but they didn't really see a ton of Marcus Mariota. He was only 3 of 6 for 32 yards. Zach Mettenberger took a majority of the snaps in that game.
Ah, the Met Show.
A completely different offense at the time because Mularkey had taken over for Wisenhunt.
And a completely different team. That was the worst team in the league that year.
Yeah, they went,
won three games.
Yeah, three games that year. So, Bill Belichick can look at that game, look at that personnel, and, you know, find things that he can use against this team now. That's just having that historian and having the way that he does research. I mean, that's what has made him so good and why he's been able to be so successful. So he continues to just dissect each and every opponent that he takes on. We'll discuss this more on the other side. I want to keep going with this because I think the mind of Bill Belichick is a very fascinating thing because it's so in-depth.
It's something.
That's the way to put it. NFL Playoffs Live brought to you by Park and Fly in Nashville. Chase McCabe and Buck Rising. More coming. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on NFL Playoffs Live, Chase McKay, Buck Rising with you, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. Again, we got you covered all day long. I'm going to keep saying it. We're on until 2. Ryan Porth will take over at that time. He's got Floyd Race at 3:15, so you'll hear from him. He's got Mike Petraglia as well, Corey Curtis, Steve Lehman. They will all be a part of his show. And then at 5 o'clock, NFL Football Saturday Playoffs Edition with Jared Stillman, Floyd, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. They'll be live at Drake's in Cool Springs. Very cool spot out there in Cool Springs to go check out. I really like going out there. So appreciate them for having us out as a part of NFL Football Saturday, setting you up for the Titans and the Patriots in the divisional round. And then Jared and Chris Sanders will have a postgame show for you as soon as the game is over tonight. The big crew, CBS, Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, they will have the call tonight. This is a huge stage for this Titans team, and we were talking in the last segment about Bill Belichick and can you get to Bill Belichick, and I think you and I both agree you cannot, especially on stages like this.
No.
Prime example, the Super Bowl last year when it looked like Atlanta had it. They were coasting to a Super Bowl championship, the first in their history.
28-3, people don't forget.
Oh, they do not. And then Bill Belichick, Tom Brady led a comeback, and they got another ring.
it's almost laughable for it to be put in that simple of terms, but that's exactly – I mean, it was
Kiss
incredible to watch. Those guys – I mean, if anybody could do this, if anybody was capable – of being as dedicated to the craft. And there's a reason that the coaches who do all the winning.
He is dedicated to the craft.
Yeah.
Family.
But there is a reason that the coaches who do all the winning in these sports are such miserable individuals. Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, do they strike you as particularly happy?
Yes.
What?
I don't think.
What?
No. Okay, so I know people that have interacted with him and met him and say he is the nicest, happiest guy. He's just a very intense coach on the sideline.
Bill or Saban?
Bill. Uh-huh. And I've met Nick a couple times, and he was very, very nice. I mean, he's an all business coach. That's the thing. We only see these guys when they're working. When they're not working, you know, Bill Belichick ran the Music City Marathon a few years ago and was very accessible, taking pictures. Joe Dubin got a selfie with him. I mean,
I know, but who wouldn't want to take a picture with Joe Dubin?
Right, but I mean, that's the thing. We only see these guys when they are doing their craft, and the reason they're so good at it is when we see them, that's all they're focused on. And they're not worried about anything else.
I know, but when you talk about how arduous a job the job of a coach is, I mean, and I understand that people are going to push back and say, you know, they're paid millions upon millions of dollars to do this job. It shouldn't be made as big a deal as it is. But this is a job, in terms of coaching, that you are constantly, like, you can almost never be satisfied with what you're given in terms of your performance, in terms of your team's performance. And so you are constantly asking for more from these people.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, that's exhausting. Truly. I mean, when you think about it, like, nobody wants to consistently be on somebody about their performance. Nobody wants to be at least I don't want to be, you know, if I, and just to use this as an example, because of course I would never criticize the performance of one Chase McCabe, but if you did on-air stuff regularly, and I, after every show that you did, came in here and said, you know, you did this well, here's what you need to do better. This is what I need from you more. I need more. I need more. Consistently. Every day. That's pretty draining. As in terms of, you know, I mean, that's a lot.
But you know what? It would make me the best. Look at Tom Brady.
It would.
Tom Brady's complaining. Because, look, this Seth Wickersham story, there's a lot of truth to it. It doesn't get out there if there isn't truth to
no,
it.
No, you don't run. You don't get a story like that published if there isn't substantial sourcing.
Brady can complain and moan all he wants about you know, getting
picked on. He wasn't Patriot of the Week.
Right. But he can be upset all he wants because he's tired of Bill and he's tired of how Bill talks to him and treats him like every other player.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, the reason that Tom Brady, at almost 41 years old, is still the best quarterback in the National Football League, is the GOAT, is a first ballot surefire Hall of Famer, is because his coach has been pushing him all these years. Yes, if you did that to me every day, I'd hate your guts. But at the same time, when I'm walking across the stage accepting my Hall of Fame plaque, when I'm doing shows nationally.
You're Marconi, it were.
Right. When I am a big deal, I'm going to look at Buck Rising and go, hey, I hate you, and I'm going to punch you in the face, but thank you.
No, you probably look at me and say, eat it.
Look, Bill Belichick doesn't care if Brady likes him. Bill Belichick doesn't care if Brady's bringing the kids over to his house for Christmas. He doesn't care about all that. He cares about making Brady and the other players on that team the best that they can possibly be in winning championships. And guess what? He's done it. So, yes, it's exhausting. Yes, you get tired of it. But at the same time, that's what I would want. I want a coach like that. I want a coach that's going to push me. I want a coach that's going to make me better. And I think that's why they're so successful.
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. But I'm talking about when you consider what the position is of a head coach, what you're asking of people on a regular basis. I mean, I just don't see any way where that could not be draining on an individual. And there's no doubt that you need that to achieve the greatness that they have achieved. And certainly, if there was a format for people to do this and to be as great as Bill Belichick has been, they would do it. This is not something that everybody can do.
No.
This is a special kind of dedication that this man has, and you know, people like Nick Saban have, and people like Tom Brady have, where they are consistently trying to be better. And I just don't know how that can't wear on a person at a certain extent. Because if you're never happy, even as you're doing all the winning, if you're never happy with your performance, I mean, when are you going to be happy after all the winning's done?
But see, I think you're talking about two different things. I think being satisfied with what you're doing and being happy are two completely different things. I think that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are happy with what they have accomplished and what they've done, but they're always aspiring to be better because they've realized over the years that, hey, you know what? What we did in 2001, well, that's not going to work in 2018. They have to adapt. I mean,
the game done changed.
The game changed tremendously from that time until now. And that's what I think a lot of teams and players, you know, struggle with, that, hey, you know what? I'm great in this four-year window, and I'm going to keep doing it this way. Well, all of a sudden, what was great in 2005 was terrible in 2009, and that person's out of the league because they didn't adapt. Yeah, they had a great run. They accomplished some things. They probably won a Super Bowl, but they weren't able to sustain it. Having the mindset of trying to be better every day and to change your game, that's why they do that, because they know that they have to. And that's why they've been able to stay on top as long as they have. I don't think there's ever going to be any coach quarterback combination that's going to come along and be able to do what they have done. It's never going to happen again. I think it's once in a lifetime. You're going to have coaches and quarterbacks have success, but like I said earlier, they've done this twice now. I mean, they've basically created two dynasties, you know, over the course of this run.
In terms of the break they had between their
and they were still qualifying for the playoffs and still right there.
And winning 11 games with Matt bleeping Castle.
Yeah, and they lost two Super Bowls to Eli Manning and the Giants.
Obviously there were great defensive lines that were able to affect Brady, but really through really fluky plays in terms of the helmet catch, David Tyree obviously going down in infamy. So, and again, that speaks to the randomness of the sport. You don't always have to be the best team. You just have to get lucky in certain situations.
You just have to find a way to beat the best.
By the way, there is fake news out on the internet about a false missile threat towards the state of Hawaii. I think we blame the Patriots.
Yeah, it's probably their fault.
Marcus is now distracted. Patriots 34-0.
Yeah, last time they pulled a fire alarm, so, you know. And that's another thing that we haven't even discussed through this entire conversation. They've cheated. They've also cheated. They have blatantly cheated. And I have heard people say, I've even heard Floyd. I heard Floyd say this week that, well, yeah, I mean, but everybody cheats.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Right. That's a part of it. I mean, I see that in every sport. You see that in baseball. You see it in basketball, football. NASCAR is notorious for it. Of cheating and how you're setting up the car. I mean, yeah, Bill Belichick has done it, and he's gotten caught, and guess what? He does it again, and he's still around.
Well, he does it again, but he does it in different ways. It's not like, I mean...
New and exciting ways.
Seriously. I mean, they have to change... It's not cheating until they change the rules afterwards, because you find the competitive advantage. It's why Bill Belichick would make such a great tax attorney, because he can find loopholes anywhere, and he is able to exploit them in new and creative ways that people who aren't as smart as Bill haven't. And so then they call him a cheater, and then they change the rules. But I mean, and I don't want to sound like I'm pro-cheating, because I'm not, but if you're going to be, a lot of these sports are dirty when you come down to it, in terms of how you get to the position you're in, how you are able to maintain greatness, how you are able to gain competitive advantages over your opponent. There is cheating that happens in all teams, all sports, all levels. That is so. It has been proven to be so. We see it on a regular basis. Just because Bill Belichick is smarter than you and then they change the rules afterwards doesn't mean that he should be automatically castigated for being smarter and adapting and wiggling around the rules. Because if he wins, what does it matter? You can't take away, I mean, you can take away the Super Bowl wins, but nobody has yet. You can diminish.
What's that going to do?
You can diminish his legacy, but what does it really matter? You're never going to be able to take from him the feeling of winning five championships. Like, that's not going anywhere. It's right. It's like Rick Pitino in Louisville. You can take away the national championship.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard. Don't even get me started on that, because I get so ticked off when I talk about the NCAA and taking away championships. And
that's
wins.
So dumb.
Chase McGay, Buck Rising, NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. When we come back, we'll take a little bit of a break from the Titans and Patriots and look at the other playoff matchups that we have around the league.
There's other games?
There are other games. How about that? There's one on before the Titans and Patriots. And it's NFL Playoffs Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is NFL Playoffs Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Buck Rising, all this brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. Well, Jimi Hendrix for you. And again, we're on all day long. Ryan Porth will take things over from us at 2 o'clock. Want to take a minute and look at the other games going on this weekend. Before the Titans and Patriots do battle tonight at 7:15 on CBS.
Do battle. I like that.
You like that. It is a battle. Tighten up. 3:35 on NBC.
Bobo.
Atlanta goes into Philadelphia. Now, this is what's crazy about this. Philadelphia is the number one seed in the NFC.
That's right.
And they are a home team dog.
The Nick Foles effect. He might be, I think in terms of playoff quarterbacks, actually, no, I forgot Blake Bortles is still in it, which in itself is a fascinating story because Blake Bortles had more rushing yards last week in a playoff game than he did passing yards.
Byard wants to turn Brady into Bortles.
Which we will discuss later in the show because I find that to be fantastic for a variety of reasons. But, it is I mean, I really can't say it's all that surprising to me. I know that's obviously unprecedented for the number one seed to be a home dog in their first playoff game of the season. But Atlanta, and, you know, I mean, you can stick with the choking narrative if you would like, especially with Georgia giving up that game against Alabama. tough year, sports year for the state of Georgia. But Atlanta, I think, is the most talented team in terms of roster construction from top to bottom. When you look at the players, and obviously there hasn't been quite the production that they had, but that's because Kyle Shanahan left for San Francisco, their former offensive coordinator. He's now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy Jesus. And you have Steve Sarkisian, who has taken over and hasn't quite utilized the players with the same kind of dominance in terms of Atlanta's offense that Kyle Shanahan was able to put together. But I think that's a vastly underrated team. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I cut you off, actually. I'm sorry.
Yeah, get out of my way. It's an incredibly talented roster, both offensively and defensively. So is Philadelphia, because honestly, I don't believe Carson Wentz to be as great as his production made him look because
you take
of
that back.
No, I won't, because of the talent around him. I mean, he had the most dominant offensive line in football this year by the metrics. Mm-hmm. He had a much improved wide receiving core. Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar actually had a good year. They've been waiting for that since he was drafted as a first round pick. They have two of the best running backs in the sport because of how great the offensive line was. They took LeGarrette Blount for pennies from the Patriots, and he led the league in rushing touchdowns last year. And then they traded for Jay Ajayi, who is averaging, I believe, 7 yards a carry at one point during the regular season.
That was a good pickup.
They did something that I found to be fascinating. They saw a need, or they didn't. It wasn't really a need. They just reinforced a position of strength because they knew that they had a team to make a run at this thing. And because the windows are so small in professional sports, especially, that let me know when they made that trade that they were pushing for the Super Bowl. They had the belief that they were going to be able to win this thing. And then, of course, Carson Wentz tore his ACL and everything falls apart because you have now Nick Foles quarterbacking your team.
The line on that game opened at 3, Atlanta -3, and now most places have it at 2.5. Look, I think that it's unprecedented that you have the number one overall seed as a home team dog, but I think the Falcons go in there and take care of business. I just don't think Nick Foles is all that good. Even though the Atlanta offense hasn't been what it was last year, Steve Sarkisian, I think, was a step back to Shanahan.
Undoubtedly.
They still got Matt Ryan, and you know they still have those running backs, and Devontae Freeman being one of them. You know, I think that Atlanta's going to get it done today on the road and take care of business. Philadelphia will be one and done. Tennessee, New England tonight, of course, and then tomorrow, the early game on CBS, the Jags and the Steelers in the Steel City. Pittsburgh opened up as a 7.5-point favorite. Now it's at 7. This one's interesting to me because you still have the Blake Bortles factor that he is Blake Bortles. And I think over the last month or so, he's looked in the mirror and go, oh, wait, you're Blake Bortles. And so he's kind of remembered who he was. but they're still here. Jacksonville barely took care of Buffalo, but they did. They've advanced. They have one of the best defenses in the league, and they took care – they made Ben Roethlisberger look terrible, look like –
threw five interceptions.
They made him look like Blake Bortles.
In that home – yeah, in the Steelers, 30-9 was the final score in favor of the Jaguars in Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger threw five interceptions in that first game. Blake Bortles had a stretch, and this speaks to the randomness of football, that for a, I believe, about a month and a half stretch, Blake Bortles was the best quarterback in football. So that automatically renders every kind of analysis irrelevant, because the man had 88 rushing yards last week in a playoff game and 87 passing yards in a playoff game. The strategy for the Jacksonville Jaguars has been to drag everybody down in the muck with their defense. Blake Bortles has quite a bit of offensive talent around him. They're basically running the Wildcat with Blake Bortles, and as they should, because it seems that Blake Bortles can, you know, slip in a pile of mess that he's made himself and still get a first down. You know, it's totally baffling that this team is in the in contention for a Super Bowl in the playoffs, making a playoff run, because I personally, just because I'm a big fan of trolling everybody, I would love to see Blake Bortles in the Super Bowl because nothing would
wreck. Why do you wish such terrible things on people?
Because, man.
Why are you that guy?
Because Blake Bortles compared himself to LeBron James this year. And you know what? When the use of Blake Bortles' name becomes a slur towards other players, Kevin Byard said he wanted to turn Tom Brady into Blake Bortles. That is making Blake Bortles' name a slur. I love that. I want to see him in the Super Bowl now.
Chase McCabe, Buck Rising, NFL Playoffs Live. All right, we'll move on from the – okay, I –
do we have to? I love Blake Bortles talk.
Who do you think wins that game? Give me a pick.
The Steelers. When they lost that game earlier in the season, that was before Pittsburgh really found its rhythm offensively. I think that Pittsburgh will handle it much better than Blake Bortles.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win, but I will say I like the 7 for Jacksonville.
Mm.
Moving on to the NFC game tomorrow afternoon at 3:40 on Fox. The New Orleans Saints head to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. That one opened at 3, the Vikings -3.5. It is now Vikings -5. So that line has moved quite a bit. I've heard a lot of people picking New Orleans just because of Drew Brees and Sean Payton and the history that they have. But I know you have Case Keenum at quarterback. They've activated Sam Bradford off injured reserve. Don't know what his role will be behind Case Keenum. Case Keenum is going to start. But that Minnesota defense has been lights out. I don't understand why people are counting out the Vikings at home.
Well, and because New Orleans had such a great defense to start the season with, and it sort of started to tail off a little bit, it's obviously much improved because we've associated New Orleans with the worst defense in football for the past, I think, 5 years. And so for them to be able to win games this season on the back of their running game and defense has been totally unprecedented. But what New Orleans showed last week in their wild card weekend win was that they don't necessarily, if you take away one aspect of that team, Drew Brees can still shred you. Because they've made it so this season that people aren't necessarily, Drew Brees hasn't had to be superhuman this year. He's only had to do as much as it takes for his team to win. That doesn't mean that he's not still a fantastic quarterback. In fact, I think between him and Aaron Rodgers, he still may be the most accurate quarterback in the sport. And, you know, I mean, Case Keenum, we've associated him with mediocrity for so long. I think that it's difficult for people to look past the quarterback matchup, even as that really has nothing to do with the actual game itself, and say, of course I'm not going to favor Case Keenum, a Case Keenum-led team over Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints just because of history. I think that's really where people's bias are coming from, and I agree, that Minnesota defense is vicious. In fact, they got rid of the best quarterback in the sport, Aaron Rodgers. Anthony Barr broke his collarbone. You know, they are hungry. They are endlessly persistent, and they will make life much more difficult on Drew Brees. The only way that I think Drew Brees can turn that to his advantage is simply because when Drew Brees gets hit by people that are bigger than him, it's a penalty.
Yeah. I like Minnesota. I'm taking Minnesota at home.
Yeah, give me the Saints just to be, you know.
Okay. All right. There we go. So there are the other.
There we go.
There we go. There are the other games going on around the league this weekend. It is divisional weekend. NFL playoffs live brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. When we come back, you will hear from Kevin Byard. You will hear those comments about Patriots quarterback Tom Brady as you listen on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, NFL Playoffs Live. Chase McKay, Buck Rising here with you. Here until 2 o'clock. All of this brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. Ryan Porth will take things over at 2 o'clock, and then NFL Football Saturday Playoff Edition live from Drake's in Cool Springs with Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. So be sure to check that out, and then they will have a post-game show as well.
They're going till 12:30.
They are. NFL Football Saturday Playoff Edition brought to you by Drake's of Cool Springs, Tate Ornamental, and Midtown Cork Dork. So we will have all of that for you today, a full day as the Titans take on the Patriots. And, Buck, as we talked about, and I know we're going to hear from Coach Mike Mularkey here in just a second on this matchup, but we've been talking about this all show long, about what they have to do to knock off Goliath and just how big of a task this is actually going to be. But when you're around this team and you listen to these guys and what they've said all week, they have this aura about them that is just, hey, you know what? We're looking at this as another football game. Yeah, there's a lot on the line. Yes, they are the best team. Yes, they have a franchise quarterback that is a Hall of Famer, and same with a head coach.
Likely the best to ever do it.
Yes, but they're not worried about that. They're going in and they're taking Belichick's advice. They're going to do their job. And I think that this team truly believes that they can go in there and win. And you know what? If you don't, you're not going to win. So they have the right mindset.
What you said there about not taking it too seriously, I mean, that would be a massive mistake. Because I understand that you want to keep things loose. You don't want to put tremendous amount of pressure on yourself.
Well, I think they're definitely taking it seriously, but I'm just they're not getting caught up in it, is what I mean.
Right, and that's important to maintain even keel. You know, as much as I hate sports cliches, to not get too high and to not get too low is a real thing for these guys. And you know, for as much fun as I like to make fun of sports cliches, these things do have meaning to the people who play the sport. So that is incredibly important. Now, Bernard Pollard Jr. at CrushBoy31 on Twitter. Quote, I hear Titans fans and players poke fun at the Pats. I want you guys to understand that the Pats are not the Chiefs. Playoff Brady is different from regular season Brady. The Pats offense doesn't go through one guy. With that being said, have fun and leave it on the field. Hashtag playoffs. That's about as good advice as you will get from a former player, from a guy who has gone into Foxborough and beaten Brady. And I know that we're going to hear from Kevin Byard here shortly. But Mike Mularkey, you know, Mike Mularkey was on Titans on 2 with Corey Curtis on News 2. And he gave his thoughts about what it would mean for the franchise to compete against the New England Patriots.
Eventually, you have to knock off the champs to take your place at the top of the mountain. And here you go to New England. This is what you coach and play for.
We've already talked about it. You know, our ultimate goal, we want to win that ring, that Super Bowl trophy for this franchise. And in order to do that, you have to beat the New England Patriots of the world. And we get our opportunity to see where we stand.
I go back to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Right. And that's, you know, again, another cliche, but, you know, it's a good mantra to have going into this game. And that's why people were particularly harsh, I think, on Kevin Byard, the Titans safety, who was named All-Pro this season, because he had some comments about Tom Brady in terms of how he wants to make Tom Brady look.
Well, I mean, it's a playoff game, so it's not like it's a preseason where I go out there and be like, oh, it's Brady and I'm chilling.
Yeah.
It's a playoff game, so I don't really care,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, if it was Joe Montana, you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to go out there and win the game and I want to make him look like Blake Bortles if I can, try to catch a couple picks. So, but Tom Brady's a great quarterback, but, you know, it's a playoff game. I'm not really looking at it like that.
I am so for a world where the name Blake Bortles becomes a slur towards other players. I am all in on this. That is better than Jadeveon Clowney calling Blake Bortles trash. That is better than anything, any downcasting that Blake Bortles has received this season, especially as he compared himself this week to LeBron James. Get the bleep out of here with that. I understand that people saw that from Kevin Byard and latched onto it and said, why would you provoke the Patriots? Why would you
right,
come
because
at Tom
they,
Brady?
They completely missed some of the other things that he said.
Yeah, you're totally it's why a lot of these players hate the media, because they'll take that headline and they'll run with it when it was not meant to.
Right. Well,
I mean, it made me laugh, and I don't have any rooting interest in this game. And I loved it because it's making a mockery of everything that professional football is. But, you know, to a certain extent, do you really want to go at Tom Brady like that?
I was standing right there when he said it.
Right.
And it made me laugh, too. But what I took away from it, because Jim Wyatt is who asked the question about Brady, and, you know,
Nashville, I think, sports media goat Jim Wyatt.
He is. He is the Tom Brady of Nashville sports media. I think that everybody kind of looks at this and wanted to get these guys' thoughts on, look, everybody knows how great Tom Brady is. You have to respect that, but you can't get caught up in the fact that, oh, it's Tom Brady. And he said that. He goes, it's not a preseason game. This is a playoff game.
Yeah.
I can't look at it as I'm playing against Tom Brady. Wow, this is really cool. I have to go out there and do my job and try and win a playoff game and make a play on Tom Brady. So I understand what he meant. You know, maybe you don't throw Blake Bortles' name out there, because that's – you're adding fuel to a already very big fire coming out of Foxborough with the Patriots, and, you know, they don't need any more motivation, but you're just kind of adding to it because people are going to latch on to that and take it in a completely different way.
For sure.
But what he's saying is, yeah, I'm going to go out there and try and rattle the goat. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make a play on Tom Brady, because you know what? As great as Tom Brady is – he's thrown an interception before. Newsflash for everybody. He's actually thrown a lot lately.
Exactly. And that's something that we need to address later in the show, because we're not going to have enough time to get to it here. I mean, Brady, we talked about the 538 article talking about Brady's aging. This is not the Tom Brady of old. And I know that it's very, very, very easy to say something like that. I mean, well, actually, it's not necessarily easy to say something like that, because he has done everything to prove me wrong in that aspect for the past 18 years or however long he's been in the league. Tom Brady is the best for a reason, because there is nothing at this point in his career, especially against Dick LeBeau, that he hasn't seen. But this is not the same Tennessee Titans. You know, the Tennessee Titans have been, as some in the Boston media would call them, a tomato can for quite some time. This is not the same iteration of the Tennessee Titans. This is a team that is not overly cocky, because I feel like people hear that Kevin Byard clip and think, wow, what a cocky upstart young player who thinks that he's going to be able to make a difference against Tom Brady, who is the best to ever go out and do it. That's not so. He's confident. He is certainly confident in his ability. That doesn't make you cocky. And so I don't want people to castigate Kevin Byard.
There you go, using big words again.
Well, you know, radio. We got to sound intelligent, and even if I might not be. I don't want people to go after Kevin Byard for provoking Tom Brady, and, you know, we'll see what the final score looks like if that is indeed the case. But this is a defense that may not necessarily be overtly special, but they have playmakers for the first time in some time. Kevin Byard is one of those playmakers. Kevin Byard said as much. I don't think Tom Brady wants to test me over the middle.
Well,
and he's probably right. That's Kevin Byard was a Pro Bowl snub. Bill Belichick does not operate in terms of who was a Pro Bowl snub in terms of how he's going to key his offense. They know who Kevin Byard is. They know that Kevin Byard is capable
of
hurting
them. He's going to respect Byard as much as Byard's going to respect Brady.
Right. And while he said he wants to make Brady look like Bortles, that's not – while it sounds wildly disrespectful, mostly towards Blake Bortles, which I'm here for, it's not disrespecting Brady in the way that people took it. It is saying, that I want to go out there and make the greatest quarterback look human. That's not disrespect.
Well,
that's just telling him, that's just telling all of us and them, listen, we're not going to roll over.
I think he's looked human at times too, because he threw 8 interceptions this entire season. 2 of those came in week 5 and week 6. The other 6 were in his last 6 games.
Right.
He didn't have one against the Jets in the final week, but he did. He had one the week before that. He had 2 against the loss to the Dolphins. That's the only loss that he had during that stretch. But he's showing that he is human. He's showing that he's capable of making mistakes. Because, look, guys, he's almost 41 years old. Okay, eventually, things are going to not work.
And he's defied age before. And we saw what 40 looked like for Peyton Manning. He's literally a corpse that was being dragged to the Super Bowl by Von Miller and that ferocious defense that reminded me of the bear in The Revenant.
Brady,
shredding Leonardo DiCaprio in
Brady
the backfield.
Brady is far from that. Like, he is far from where Peyton Manning was.
And, for sure.
You know, he hadn't had the injuries like Peyton had. Peyton had a pretty significant neck injury.
Yeah, no spine surgeries. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something you have to factor in as well. But he is vulnerable.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of vulnerabilities with him, but he is vulnerable, and the Titans are going to have to play their best game and have to try and exploit that.
And it should be noted that, as you said, that there was only one loss in there in that 5-game span. They went 4-1, and that loss was against the Dolphins, which they've been uncharacteristically bad in Miami.
The Titans and Patriots have one thing in common. They have both lost to the Dolphins this year.
The fighting Jay Cutlers, ladies and gentlemen, don't overlook them.
Chase McKay, Buck Rising, NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. 2 hours down, we got one more to go, but a long day ahead of Titans coverage right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.